Let's get ready to wrinkle!
I went to a leather repair store yesterday.
Leather repair store?
I went to a leather repair store.
Did you get something that was leather repaired?
I am in the process of doing so.
Ooh, that's where you'd go for that.
Well, it's actually a shoe repair store, but I thought shoes are made of leather sometimes, and I called them up, and they're like, oh, yeah. I had a tiny hole rip in the back of my leather jacket, which was really sad because it's a nice jacket. And so I called him up. He's like, yeah, no problem. Bring it over. And I walked in there, and I went back in time because of the smells.
Oh, yeah.
All the smells and, like, shoe polish. And, like, I remember when a time when back in my day where you could take your shoes into, like, the dry cleaner, and sometimes they would have a shoe polishing service. Or, if nothing else, like a shoe polishing machine. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the smells, those smells are lost to time for young people these days. I walked in there and like all these chemicals and stuff that could probably murder you hit my nose. And I was like, oh man, it smells like the 80s up in here.
You remember those leather coat stores in the mall?
Yes. Yes.
That no longer exist.
Yeah. County or Country Seat. Yep. Or, no, obviously County Seat was the name of the store. They sold jeans and leather jackets and like
stirrups.
And cowboy hats and stirrups and stuff like that. And the stirrups. Smell, the smell in there
never
was good.
You're gonna need one.
The smell in there was really good unless the mall was really humid.
Yeah,
if the mall was really humid, it smelled awful.
Yeah.
Just awful. Smelled like the taste of seaweed to me, actually. But when it was when it wasn't that way, it was like
that's what they should have called it. The taste of seaweed.
The taste of seaweed. When that would have been a nice rebranding attempt before they went out of business.
Yeah.
Or got bought up by somebody.
Well, maybe they did. That's why they went out of business.
That could be.
Yeah.
It could be. But yeah, my leather jacket will be repaired by Thursday, I'm told.
What year?
Hopefully this year, this weekend.
Oh, this week? Wow, nice.
It's warmer outside, so I can get by for a while. Maybe a few months and a few months of Thursdays I can handle.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my little excursion. And, you know, they say your memory is more closely tied to your olfactory sense than any other sense. And I know that's true because, like, I'll be walking through, a store or something or, like, some weird antique store, and I'll just be like... I smell my grandma's linen closet and I didn't know that I remembered what that smelled like, but the smell just hits me and immediately I know exactly where it was, you know, it's like, oh, if you picked up the towels, that was the smell behind the towels, you know, weird stuff like that. You guys ever get that kind of thing where it's like, it's almost like such a drastic flashback. You almost get like goosebumps.
Yeah. Dude, for me, it's fresh cut grass. Cause that always takes me back to football season. When I played football in high school.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember.
You played football in high school?
Back in 85.
What are you doing on our nerd podcast, Jock?
I ain't supposed to like sports.
Look over there. Runs out of the room.
Yeah, for me.
A wedgie yet?
For me, it's the smell of smoke, cigarette smoke out in the open.
Yes.
Brings me back to like T-ball.
Yes. Like Swisher Sweets. For me, it's Swisher Sweets.
Swisher.
Because there was always somebody who smoked Swisher Sweets when I played Little League. And like you get like the dirt, the fresh cut grass, and all that mixed in with this like sweeter cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I don't know. If I smoke a cigarette, there ain't nothing sweet about it at all.
Right.
But like, I remember it's part of it's like Little League and then a little bit of like, you know, carnival or like county fair or something like that. Yeah. You know, you get popcorn mixed in with that smell.
Ooh,
you get, that's crazy town. That's crazy go nuts. You know what else is crazy? Oh, what is it? Like, that's right. Garrick has opinions.
Never mind.
No, what is it? Seriously.
Garrick was saying something?
What is it for you, Garrick?
Oh, yeah. Back when I was a little kid, I had a Empire Strikes Back, bathroom kit. Had the Empire Strikes Back holder and some soap and comb. Yeah, they had a bathroom kit and they had this soap in there and it had this smell that I could never replicate. I never found an equal replicant for it.
Oh, I'm glad
until the other day I found some hair gel with that exact same scent.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But So I found it like in the Walgreens clearance section and I'm like, oh.
That's awesome. Man, I love that.
That takes me back.
I actually experienced something very similar.
With Luke again.
The way it was meant to be.
The way it was meant to be.
I actually had something very similar the other day. Yeah, I was giving my daughter a bath, and my wife had bought her a new like body soap, whatever. I went and I was, you know, squirting it into the washer rag or whatever. And it was like this like kind of dark burgundy gel. And I was like, oh man, that looks a lot like the shampoo that my grandmother would use on me when I took baths as a little kid at her house. And I smelled it, same smell. And it, like, I just thought it looked nice. Like it. And then I smelled it, like my hair stood on end. I was like, holy cow. And the fact that I was in the opposite end of that exact same scenario where I'm giving my daughter a bath. And that was pretty crazy. Incidentally, she has a Darth Vader bubble bath.
Oh,
you actually pull the helmet off of the bottle
nice.
And pour the bubble bath in. But as I've learned is you can't really give little girls bubble baths very much at all because that gives them little girl problems.
This is true.
That sucks. I am a grown man and I like a bubble bath every now and then. Thank you very much. And I'm like bubble baths. Yeah. And I was giving them to her pretty regularly. Yeah. And we developed an issue.
Every
and
the doctor said,
you can't do the bubble bath. And I'm like, what? Right. They're like, yeah, it's terrible for them.
Yep.
And I'm like, why don't they make bubbles out of something that doesn't make, you know, little JJ's hurt?
I don't think it's just the bubble bath. I think it's baths in general.
Because they're made by Hasbro.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, I used to always get her cleaned up to get it done and then let her play.
Right.
Like, you can't do that. You got to let them play and then get them cleaned up and get them out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, soap? They can't get soap in that thing?
Yeah.
I guess. I'm a man. I mean, I know that life is easier for us. I get that, but it's like it just keeps getting more treacherous to be a female as I get older. I learn more things where I'm like, the sacrifices these women have made for
especially
existence.
When you have girls. Yep.
Yeah,
I feel you.
My word, my eyes have been open, but it's a good thing our listeners have joined us because it's time to open their eyes to all of the horribly wonderful things in the Star Wars universe. Wait, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fly Casual episode number 31, your favorite Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. Over there is Stephen J. Howie.
Yo.
At Master Control. And then over there is Michael J. Archbold.
Hello.
At Beer Control.
That's right.
And across the pond and down a few is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Greetings.
Sorry, he was in mid gulp.
At pregnant pause control.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, ladies and germs. This is a reviews and rumors podcast. So strap in because we are going to be talking freely about Star Wars Rebels, Fire Across the Galaxy, the season finale of Star Wars Rebels. The timing on this could not have been more right for us to be so far after it aired.
Yes.
So I have no problem spoiling the snot out of this, which is what we do.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also Marvel Star Wars number 3 and Marvel Princess Leia number 1. So if you have not reviewed those and you don't want, or you haven't seen them or read them and you don't want them spoiled, tune out. Otherwise, hey, if you don't plan on picking them up, or even if you do and you're not that sensitive, stay with us because we're going to have some fun talking about that stuff before we get into the massive swirling miasma of rumors.
Oh, it's going crazy again too.
It's getting nuts. He's heating up. So in the meantime, without further ado, why don't we just
on fire.
Jump straight into Boom Shakalaka Reviews.
Reviews.
Yeah, reviews. Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Waiting for the music.
Reviews. Yeah, reviews.
I have a kill button. Right.
So Rebels episode 13, Fire Across the Galaxy.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is... also,
we can
the
finally talk
last
about it.
Episode in season 1.
Seriously, did that air like 2 days after we recorded the last episode?
So it's been 2 weeks since
it actually did. It was remarkable. A lot of our guesses were actually dead on. So
we
nailed a lot of that. I guess it was good that it came out after that episode had aired.
Yeah, so people could listen to it and go, wow.
Quick recap of this.
I already know the answers to all of this, and yet they seem to have hit everything exactly right.
Wow, they're like wizards or something. Indeed. But anyway, a quick recap. It opens on Lothal, and Sabine is kind of ambushing a group of stormtroopers to cause a distraction so that Zeb and the rest and Hera and Ezra and Chopper can steal a transport ship.
Can
right
I say
under their noses?
Can I say that I would like to rename Sabine at this point? I'm going to be calling her Sabiner Man from now on because she has all of the athletics of Spider-Man in this scene.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. It got a little nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of the point, but
she's leaping off of stormtroopers' heads and all that. And it was kind of ridiculous, but
doing like 720s in the air and stuff like that. It was nuts.
Whilst laying bombs everywhere. Yeah, yeah, it was apparently pretty crazy. But
I mean, not that we all didn't assume that.
Stealing this, the well, this transport ship, which is that ship that kind of has the little TIE fighter dingleberries underneath it and
yep.
kind of poops them out
yep.
when they Poopy need fighters. To launch. But they end up escaping and blowing up all the TIE fighters in that small complex that they had sabotaged or whatever. And they kind of fly away. And
wait, real quick. Did you notice
one of the first visual?
One of the things yeah. that what they said.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
What they called her.
What's that?
When she first shows up, oh, one yeah, stormtrooper looks the other stormtrooper goes, it's artist. The artist is back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, she's yeah, got she's a got name. A
little, yeah. So she's known.
Yeah, so
the artist.
She's done enough that she now has a name for herself, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they fly away, they kind of go through the smoke that emits from the destroyed TIE fighters, and it's kind of a little visual eye candy, a little was it the Phoenix type yeah. rebel symbol kind of
yeah, the rebel appears symbol. In the which smoke we've seen variants through. Of. Thought, she seems to be kind of cool. Yeah, she seems kind of that's kind of a theme of hers that's kind of popped up. You know, she's painted on the back of Ezra's jacket, a version of it. It was one of the, what she painted on the floor right. of the Star Destroyer in the first episode of the movie.
I mean, is mm-hmm. it obvious she's going to be the one that comes up with the rebel yeah. symbol?
Well, I think that's pretty clear because right. she just keeps painting Phoenixes all right. over the place.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I
yeah.
love it. Yeah.
But yeah, it actually formed in the
which
smoke.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As they're going away. And I guess I should have said this before I started, but Filoni actually directed this episode. You can really tell.
Oh yeah,
when he absolutely. Gets down and oh, yeah. starts directing episodes,
for sure,
because they are like the best episodes of any series when he gets down in there.
Yeah,
but yeah, they end up escaping. They regroup on the ghost and they kind of get a visual of where Kanan is being held on a Star Destroyer outside of Mustafar.
Right, where Jedi go to die.
Hatch yeah. a plan.
Apparently.
But still kind of weird.
But where yeah. Jedi go to die, right. But they hatch a plan, but the only thing is they blew up all the TIE fighters and they need a TIE fighter to get in.
Yeah, and I mean, Hera's like, too bad we blew them all up.
Well, maybe not.
My
well,
favorite thing.
Maybe not all of
my,
them.
Yeah, my favorite thing is Ezra says, well, maybe not everyone. And then immediately Zeb doing the cut it out symbol across his neck. Like, don't give up yeah. my toy, you little jerk. But this is great because back when we saw this episode, and we actually reviewed yeah, that episode yeah, with Petrie and Josh here,
yeah.
and we talked about how we really hope that comes back yeah, later
yeah, right
and sure enough that TIE fighter yeah, still
so
exists.
A call back to the episode yeah the episode fight or fighter flight I should say yeah this is a definite callback. So like yeah maybe we kept one and stashed it out. So they go to retrieve the TIE fighter and apparently Sabine was in on it or they let her in.
Well, you know Ezra totally just trying to get in Sabine's proverbial mental pants.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, just like, well, I got a TIE fighter you can paint. Yeah. I'm just saying.
See, that's a funny thing because obviously that Ezra had not told
Zeb
that
he would that told, he let Sabine know.
Yeah, so Sabine he was right. totally in the dark that Sabine knew about this thing, and he gets there and he starts rolling his eyes. He's like, oh, you got right.
you
me.
Ruined my TIE
fighter. Ah. No. So yeah, it's like my bright yellow and orange. It has checkerboard patterns.
Yep.
It has green lines all over.
Pretty much looks like it's Sabine's totally bunk. Like
in your face, bright colors.
Totally oh, yeah, in my absolutely. Face.
She definitely has a color scheme she likes the best. But
yeah,
they
yeah.
come across that and like, oh well, I guess we'll use that, and then it
and Zeb's like, you got to be kidding, to,
yeah. And Kanan's she looks at him and goes, this is pretty much my work of art. This is like my masterpiece.
Yeah, and Zeb's like, how, we're never gonna be able to fly this anywhere. And Hera says, hey, by the yeah. you know, they're all we gotta do is get past their scans. By the time they see us, it'll be too late.
Right?
Yep.
Too late. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that was an awesome scene right there.
That really
kind of cuts away to a more intense scene with Kanan. He's still being held and being tortured by the Inquisitor, and you kind of hear his screams as it cuts to the new scene, and he's in there getting electrocuted still, and the Inquisitor is kind of asking him about Fulcrum. So apparently mm-hmm. he has caught wind of this Fulcrum agent, and of course Kanan doesn't know who he is. Or she is, or he or she.
But he we'll or she.
But,
he and or she.
He or she. Could be either one. Could be both. But he kind of, the Inquisitor kind of gets a little dirty here, kind of interrogating him.
I know, I got a little dark.
Master Balaba.
Yeah.
And getting like, hey, you know, what? How did you survive and your master died? What did you do? I know, kind of getting closer and closer. Like, what was the last word she ever said to you? And he said, run.
Yeah. And you could tell that like, Kanan was really like pained remembering that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why they call him the Inquisitor. But yeah, that was a really cool scene right there.
Yeah,
that's right. So they come back to the rest of our crew, and they are coming into reverting to real space around Mustafar, towing that TIE fighter that they
in
have.
Front of like four and, Star Destroyers.
They kind of there's a fleet. I don't know what constitutes a fleet, but
I'm phalanx. Well, there's about three Star Destroyers.
Were there three of them? Kinda,
yeah, phalanx, a squad of stormtroopers, or Star Destroyers.
A murder of Star Destroyers.
But they end up giving them some codes that I guess check out, even though they're older. I don't know.
I know. Empire time. Really needs to clean that up at some point. Really,
yeah. I don't know. I guess they just use random codes. But they let the TIE fighter go, and it kind of gets on board the ship, and it's a pretty funny scene. You see all these TIE fighters landing in the docking bay of the Star Destroyer.
Perfectly normal.
And you see them land one by one, and then Sabine's painted up one lands, and like, whoa, that's not regulation.
Yeah, the other ones, and the other ones are
kind of cool.
I kind of like it. I like the fact that a stormtrooper would ever be like, I kind of like it. I dig it. It's good by me. I have an opinion.
So, of course, on board this ship, because Sabine rigged it to explode in a EMP pulse or something. Yeah, or ion pulse.
Well, let's just call them ion grenades so that I can feel better about it.
Yeah, because ion grenades, that's canon pretty much, I guess. Yes. So,
well, you know, Zeb hates ion weapons, but back before that, ion weapons were what you knock stuff out with.
Would be an EMP, and it just takes out all the electrical systems.
Right. Yeah, the disruptor, ion disruptors were like a different... I'm choosing to believe the ion disruptor rifles from that episode are a different animal than just normal ion weapons. I'm just choosing to believe that.
Right. Yeah, but it shuts down the stormtroopers too, because they wear mechanical gear, and it kind of, I guess, knocks them out somehow, maybe overloads the circuitry in their helmet and kind of knocks them unconscious for a while.
Right.
Because the rest of the crew end up docking with the side of the Star Destroyer, cutting open a hole and getting on board to try to rescue Kanan. And this is when it starts to get real.
Yeah, it does.
Because Tarkin, I mean, you really see Tarkin really... Even though his
Star Destroyer has been disabled,
you see him kind of shine. Yeah, he does a little bit, but you see kind of his meticulous planning that he basically set up that if they lost communication with the rest of the fleet within a certain amount of time, that the rest of the fleet would automatically send reinforcements to them.
It was already set up that they would immediately have the dropships over. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of see a little bit of the military genius of Tarkin shine through when he has this all set up ahead of time before.
To pull back the curtain for just a second, he was still very Tarkin-y when it came to the point where, like, okay, this mofo is going to go and we need to get out of here. It still took like a sub lieutenant to walk up and go, we need to evacuate.
Yeah.
I half expected him to turn to go, evacuate. Get on a moment of triumph.
Right.
Oh, wait. And then he's like, oh, wait, I'm in episode 4. I better not die here.
Yeah, okay. I got to stick around.
So the stormtrooper backup comes aboard the ship, and Chopper kind of lets him in on what's going on because he sees the various fleets flying by him ready to board the Star Destroyer. And he lets out a little call for Fulcrum. And Fulcrum's like, who's this? And at this point, I'm kind of thinking maybe Chopper is Fulcrum, maybe.
Yeah, because it was confusing whether he was making a call at first or if he was just generating the message himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe he has like some subroutines down deep that constitute Fulcrum. No, I didn't think that. But that would be an interesting, I guess, twist. But he calls Fulcrum for help because he knows that once they board that ship, his crew is probably not going to come out.
Right.
So they end up getting on the ship. They find where Kanan is being held, And the only person who can rescue him is Ezra because he has to sneak through some ventilated.
Yeah, it's funny. There's like
to get to him.
Everybody's got vent shafts everywhere. It's like, you know, it's this is where it's really like a role playing game where like the halfling wants to do something. All right, there's a small hole that needs to be crawled through.
Yeah.
You go through the doggy door.
Roll steal sneak. Okay.
Yeah. Done. But in this case, it's like, well, we're screwed. What do we do? And it was, hey, there's a vent shaft. Dun, da, da, da. Give him a boost.
Hey, sweet. Yeah. So he goes all John McClane in there and comes out on the end.
He's talking to himself, crawling in a bloody wife beater.
Said, have a good time. Good. Yeah. I took off my shoes, having a good time. So he ends up finding where Kanan is being held and releasing him. And they're making their escape when they come across episode one type area. Where the Inquisitor is waiting for them.
Yeah, I was, you know, I said on the last episode or two episodes ago, I'm like, I hope they justify that because I don't want the episode one power room to be everywhere. Yeah. Well, it's on a Star Destroyer.
Yeah,
which, it was. Given the fact that it looked like it was like some weird, it was like the power center of the Star Destroyer. I was and everything was at kind of a weird angle to justify the shape of the hull. I was kind of like, okay.
I swallowed it. You know what? They did it for familiarity. I mean, they just,
I still am a firm believer that no spacefaring culture that has artificial gravity on a ship would not put a handrail. I'm sorry. That's just where I am. That's where I am in my walk. I believe that to be incontrovertible truth.
Good point. Maybe they were trying to save money or something.
Empire cuts corners, man. Just saying.
Well, who's silly enough to walk through the power center? It's just for droids. I retconned it. That is a service plank only for droids. I feel better about
Astromax.
Moving along.
That works. Anyway, so they come across the Inquisitor, and Ezra's kind of keeping Kanan on his feet, and Kanan's like, hey, give me your lightsaber. So he kind of runs at the Inquisitor and deactivates the blade on Ezra's lightsaber and starts firing at him, which I guess this
pretty
is
cool.
Maybe like a manufactured flaw of the lightsaber that they can't shoot and be activated at the same time. Otherwise, that would be sweet if you could do both.
Well, you know, I guess take
you can only do
power.
One or the other.
So, still, actually, the Inquisitor was just a little surprised by it.
Yeah.
You know, because he starts running at him. Suddenly, he's shooting at him. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, the Inquisitor's standing back, striking his pose, he's starting to calculate.
Yeah.
But then his calculations and his plans in his head get interrupted because suddenly he's having to deflect these, you know, stun bolts that are flying at him.
Yeah.
That was really smooth. The best part about that, I'm watching with my daughter and she looks and she goes, "Oh, that's cool." And then immediately Ezra goes, "I didn't know he could," I never thought of that.
I never thought of that.
And then I watch it with Howie and Howie immediately at that point goes, "Oh, I bet you didn't think of that." And then it cuts to Ezra and he goes, "Oh, I never thought of that." And then we both started laughing.
That's a little. That's great. So they get into a battle, and the Inquisitor turns his back to Ezra, and Ezra kind of force pulls the Kanan's lightsaber that's attached to the Inquisitor's belt toward him. So the Inquisitor's like, actual fight now.
Yeah, a challenge worthy of my whatever's and
my talents. Yeah.
Yes, and it's pretty awesome action eye candy going on. And
it was
Inquisitor ends up knocking Ezra off a platform.
They still had the, like slick fish action. You know, I talked about it in the tripping balls episode where Ezra was having the force hallucination. And I talked about how one of the things that bothers me is that the lightsaber fights, they move like fish, like a school of fish, where whenever they do something fast, it's so fast that you almost can't even see it. Like they're from point A to point B in two frames of animation. And it bothers me because I want to actually see and take apart, but it allows them, I think, to cut some corners with the articulations and stuff like that. And
they're just so fast, dude.
They're so fast that it's just kind of ridiculous. It looks a little ridiculous.
That's the force, man.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, but it's something like if I could have anything be improved, that would probably be one of my things on my list.
Yeah.
So
he pushes. At this point, we think Ezra's dead, but then Kanan kind of goes down to one knee and he's like, And the Inquisitor's like, "What's the matter?
You made a mistake.
Are you upset because you have no one to die for anymore?" He's like, "No, you made a mistake."
No, he says you're upset because you have no one left to die for you. He says you have no one left to die for you.
Right, die for you.
Yeah. And then Kanan.
So then he says, "No, I don't." Yep. So he force pulls the lightsaber that Ezra dropped and kind of just like goes to town on the Inquisitor and ends up using the force, I guess, to put his lightsabers in the circle cross guard of the Inquisitor's blades, which I don't know why he didn't think of that before. It makes perfect sense. Kind of chops them in half. The Inquisitor gets blown back and is hanging on the edge of a pit. Which we all know are
Sithin pits.
Now see, it could have been that the Inquisitor just fell off a gangplank into the darkness. But no. They actually lit up a fiery pit of plasma right beneath him for him to fall into.
Yes.
So right. It is exactly what we said. Because
when his lightsabers fell.
Yep.
When the Inquisitor's lightsabers fell, they blew up something and
the hyperdrive. I think they referred to it, the hyperdrive was suddenly going critical.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It might have been the coolant tanks. I don't know. But the Inquisitor's kind of hanging there and Kanan deactivates his lightsaber and Inquisitor has a couple little parting words. He says, "You know, there are things worse than death." He's like, "You think you've won, but there are things worse than death." And then
there was something else that he said though too that was very you have no idea what you unleashed here today. And I thought that was very interesting.
Right,
there's something tied to that, and I wonder. There's more to that line than is apparent right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to come back at some point and we're going to find out what he meant by it.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially I think we found out at the end of the episode.
We'll get there. I think
maybe that's kind of what I'm thinking is that might've been what he was talking about, but I don't know. It could be something else too.
Right.
So then he dies and then everybody's trying to escape.
We
right?
assume he dies. I mean, that's what it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, he falls into a fiery Sith pit.
Yeah. As
yep. That's usually how that is.
Ezra's okay. He didn't die. He just fell down and
he's dead.
He bumped his head or something.
Yeah, Ezra got up. He's awakened by Hera. And that's the funny thing. I would like to point out that apparently Kanan's torture resulted in him having really horrible peripheral vision. Because Ezra was just laying there in full view the whole time that he thought he was dead.
Just looked right, like 45 degrees.
Right and down 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah.
Like,
right there.
Maybe I should look down.
I'm just assuming he's gone. So going into depression now.
And just real quick before they escape, one of my favorite parts is when they were on the ship is when Hera and Zeb and Sabine are running around. A turbo lift opens and Hera just unloads on these stormtroopers,
they're wedged in this turbo in the elevator. So and she just, like, without a thought, just slaughters the snot out of them. Except there's like one left standing who has to crawl over the other ones to give chase. She's like, "Oh, yep, murder, move on."
She didn't even say, "Oh, no."
No, just no reaction, anything, just slaughter, no just wholesale. She just
started firing.
And they never fired at her. So she just fired at them.
Nope. So
I'm not saying she had to wait for them to shoot. I'm just saying, it was great.
I want a shirt that says Hera shot first because that's so much.
There you go.
Way first.
Then Han shot first because Han shot only. So they end up escaping. They get on on Sabine's TIE fighter that I guess is okay now. I guess it got its power back. So Hera, Sabine, and Zeb escape on that one. And then Kanan and Ezra come up behind them and see the Inquisitor's TIE fighter.
The only one left.
It's kind of a little funny joke here. He's like, "Well, we could take the Inquisitor's TIE." And Ezra's like, "Well, he's not going to need it anymore." And Ken is like, "Sometimes I worry about you."
Because Ezra says it's so matter of fact, like, he's not going to need it. What for? He did.
We were all thinking it.
Yeah, because there's a little bit of humor there. And I thought that was funny. So they end up escaping. Hera's TIE comes under attack a bunch by a bunch of other TIE fighters, and Kanan kind of jumps in and destroys him. But that didn't really seem to matter because a whole horde of TIE fighters come issuing out of all the Star Destroyers.
And they're all wondering where the heck Chopper went, like, because the ghost is gone.
Right.
They keep, well, it's not the ghost. They didn't bring the ghost.
The Phantom
transport ship.
Oh, right. That's right. The transport ship.
Yeah. Well,
gotcha. Right.
Well, yeah,
it was the shuttle or whatever.
Right. So right as they're about to be overrun by this horde of TIE fighters, the transport ship comes out of hyperspace and they're like, oh, look, there's Chopper. Then the ghost. Three CR90.
The wicked crazy guitar solo kicks on of the episode, and the episode begins to melt our faces while it shreds through fire and flames, like up our butts and out our ears and eye holes. Horns in the air.
Oh man, that was awesome. The blockade runner showed up, and I was just like,
I got chills just thinking. Oh man!
Because suddenly there's a whole group. There's a fleet. There's a mini fleet. Rebel fleet.
Right.
Yeah. Is there? No, it's not a big fleet. It's a modest fleet, but it's a rebel fleet.
Right.
What?
Prior to this, all we had is our little band of rebels. That's it.
Exactly.
But now they're organizing. Now they're together. Something is helping.
Right. You know, it was just wicked.
Yeah, just the way they just like knife through the squadrons of TIE fighters and just destroyed all of them and just jumped to hyperspace. It was so great.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, that was an adrenaline rush there.
Right.
It was. So when they get to hyperspace and they come aboard one of the blockade, or no, board the ghost. They get
The ghost and the shuttle are docked together.
The ghost and the transport ship were docked together, and Chopper's standing there like, wait a minute. So if Chopper is flying this, who's flying the ghost?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So they open the door and Chopper creates a hologram out of his eyeball, and it's Bail Organa.
I was right.
Yeah.
At first I'm thinking, oh,
sort of.
He's
sort of.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, he. Yeah, at this point in the show, I'm like, oh, he's Fulcrum. That's kind of a cop out, whatever. But
I called it from the second episode.
So he kind of tells him, hey, you know, thanks for doing it. Now you're a rebel cell and all this junk. And wait, and as soon as he's done talking, you hear someone's voice as they come down the ladder from the upper deck.
What?
You see someone emerge.
Inconsequential character. Bail Organa is Fulcrum. Game over. Blah, 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 blah. Right?
That's it, right?
Yeah. We see someone come down the ladder. Someone we haven't seen in quite some time.
It was Mace Windu's hand. Followed by Vincent Price.
Ahsoka freaking Tano.
Who was actually Fulcrum, and I was wrong, but still kind of right.
Yes.
They were working in cahoots.
So she comes down the gangplank. She comes and meets our rebels and says, hey, you know, speaking of what you said there, that inspired everyone, and I'm Fulcrum and all this stuff, and I'm just like losing my mind at this point. Oh,
geez, heck yeah.
I'm just like, oh,
because
my God.
Not only are we getting the reveal that we had hoped for in our last reviews and rumors episode, and we talked about how this could be it. And Mike said, what do you think the odds are? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But after the absolute, you know, the absolute tingler of the rebel fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting this on that cake.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
The fun thing was I saw it first, and then my kids, I got to watch it with them.
Because you couldn't wait. You're like, screw those brats.
No, well, true. But when I got them, we sat down to watch it, and I kept telling them the whole time, there's a big surprise. And they kept thinking it was a lightsaber battle, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, yeah. I'm like, no.
Because your kids like Clone Wars.
They did like Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And when Ahsoka came down and she took off her, you know, hood, and my son looked up at me and he just kept repeating, "Dad, it's Ahsoka. Dad, it's Ahsoka."
Whereas my kid did not watch any Clone Wars, and she wanted to know, she goes, "Who's that girl?
Yeah.
Who's that girl? What's up with her hair?" And all this stuff. And then she wanted to know more about that girl, which is why we went back and started watching the Clone Wars movie to try to introduce her, because she wanted to know more about, she was just fascinated by that character from that 1 minute scene.
Yeah. So, that was great, man. But that was
really, that,
was
that wasn't the last surprise.
No.
Yeah, that was awesome.
What was the last surprise?
Wasn't the last surprise. So at the, they kind of line up at the end of that scene, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to fade to black, just like in the movies, and do the credits. But no, there's another scene.
Oh.
Back on Lothal, the music starts hitting, you know, really hard and heavy. And you see the Lambda S-class shuttle kind of arrive at the Imperial outpost on Lothal, and it opens up, and Tarkin comes out. And Kallus is kind of like,
Agent Kallus.
People heard what happened out there. He's like, they think the Empire's weak now because of what happened out there. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. The Emperor's got, you know.
Yeah, the Emperor's just turned the amp up to 11, more or less. And immediately,
outstrolls the Dark Lord himself.
Angry Eyes Vader
/ Darth Vader.
So great,
he
man!
He comes strolling down the gangplank, and you know it got real now.
What's great about this is, you know,
real quick, it cuts to the credit, directed by Dave Filoni.
Yeah,
and the only sound normally you get the rebel, that little rebel, but the only sound is the only thing is
it's great. I don't think I guess I'm speaking for myself, but I'll ask you guys. I mean, at the beginning of this series, you know, when we, you know, Rebels and all that stuff, we saw the first few episodes, I didn't foresee this, man.
By the end of season one,
I didn't think it would
be this far
it
along.
It seems like it moved along really quick.
Yeah.
Especially the second half of the season, building toward this final moment.
Season two is just going to be completely different than season one.
You would think. It doesn't necessarily have to be. I mean, they can always take a step back and kind of like let us
cool
our jets a little.
Still be a single cell and all that stuff.
Right. But it also could just go big. I mean, it could. I mean, remember.
Go big or go home.
They've been on Lothal almost this whole time.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, I'm not going to hide it. The reason for that's cost.
Sure.
You know, you're just not going to do Planets Justice if you do what they did in Clone Wars and just have generic locale number one, generic locale number two. So they kept on Lothal so they could actually build an environment that mattered. But now you got to wonder if stuff's going to get a little more galactic.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I kind of agree with you. I think they'll probably stay maybe more local. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just the idea, the whole idea of the rebellion itself just takes on a whole new, you know, before it was just, you know, a group of people that were going around causing havoc.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's the larger rebellion. Bail Organa's involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, now there's the whole dynamic between Ahsoka and Vader, too.
Yeah, that's a crazy dynamic, too.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
That's one dynamic.
I mean, just the thought of that and where they can take that. I mean, oh, my gosh.
I said it before. You're marching toward an Ahsoka-Vader square-off.
Yeah.
I went on a big rant about how she's the only character left that he knows of at this point.
That can wrestle with
that can actually affect him emotionally.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
So are we going to get the Death Star's plans stolen?
I still think that's your last
by
episode.
By the end of season two?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
How many seasons do you guys give this? I don't think it's going to get 5-6 seasons. I think four.
I think four is the magic number, and then just do something new. Just like you did, you ended Clone Wars and you did this.
Right.
I think you can do that again.
Yeah.
I think you can do that again. You can end this and do something else. Right. I think four would be the magic number. Before, because I think you can still end. You can end at the fourth season. You can end right before episode four begins. In fact, that timing actually, if you go a year per season, if you adhere to that, that's actually right around there. So I think that that's a real good play. And there's not enough time to get bored while you're waiting for it.
Yeah.
You know, four seasons will keep you from getting bored. If it goes on longer than that, you could start to be like at that point, if you're not past the Death Star moving into the full on rebellion, you're wondering why you're not. Why aren't we to this point yet? What's taking so long?
Right.
So
exactly.
I think four is a good number. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to stretch it to six. I think going past six is insane. But yeah. I think four is the right number.
Six seasons too. In a movie.
But I don't think we're getting a movie. Yeah. Ask Yahoo.
Are we going to lose any characters next season?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Lots of stormtroopers.
By the way, I would like all to point them. Out the commercials before this episode that aired did not say who will die. They said who will fall.
Who will fall.
And he fell into and a pit. Did. So there Sith it is. Sith and pits.
Sith and pits.
He did, yes. No, but I mean, I think to keep this... I think to keep this interesting, I think season two is going to have one big death and three.
It'll be Vader.
I think Vader's going to die.
Because that's not Darth Vader. That's not Darth Vader. That's Chad Vader.
Yeah.
You can tell because he has a different mask. Can we talk about it? Can we talk about the mask?
If you want to.
I understand that, you know, Mike, when we started watching Rebels and talk about it on the air, you talked about how like the stormtroopers were styled differently because it's a different time period. I went, really? Because I thought it was just because it was cartoony. I'm calling you out on that now. I think they're styled differently just to be cartoony because Darth Vader does not have angry eyebrows.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell. I heard that. I did. That's not something I made up. That's something
I think
that
I you did.
That's something I read in an interview with Filoni, actually.
I feel like that's talking out of the side of the mouth a little bit. Not for you, but for him.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Honestly, Darth Vader has angry eyebrows.
Yeah, he does.
Very angry eyebrows.
By the way, I'm going to call it out. This episode was beyond
got
awesome.
A lot of anger.
Beyond awesome.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yes.
Because Darth Vader is scary because the mask hides. It's the man behind the mask. The whole first trilogy was about the man behind the mask. You know, you even get the behind the messed up skull look when he's in his meditation sphere and all that crap. It's the mask blocks you from understanding why or what he feels or why he does what he does. Giving him angry eyebrows makes him less intimidating, makes him look dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. I don't care what anybody says. It's dumb. Can I look past it? Yes. The series is worth looking past it. The angry eyebrows are dumb. I hope at some point he stands under a heat lamp and they just melt right back into position so he can just go forward.
It's just stylistic.
It's dumb.
It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me at all.
You're dumb.
You're the one who's dumb.
Best episode ever.
Shell on it. That was a great.
It was pretty cool.
Great.
Just awesome. I'm so excited for season two. It'll be neat to see what, I mean, because they're going to debut the first episode of season two at Celebration next month.
Right. All right. Well, now that we've wrapped that up, gentlemen, I'm going to say let's hold off on the comics because we had a lot to say about Rebels.
Aww.
I know. Hate me all you want. Let's hold off. And that way, next time we do reviews and rumors, we don't have a Rebels episode to talk about.
We'll have 30 comics to
review. We can talk about 400 different comics when we get to that point. But for now, let me make it up to you with a Porkins Bite of the Week.
Yeah! Oh,
that makes everything better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
General Grievous was originally conceived to be a child actor sitting in a hover chair.
What?
You didn't know that, did you?
But I
apparently
did not.
That was too cheesy for George Emmer F. and Lucas. cheesy for George M. F. Lucas.
Is that his real middle name? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Also, Grievous' nasty cough was actually George Lucas, who had developed a nasty hack during filming.
Huh.
Interesting. Okay.
Wow.
Boy.
Right?
That was like.
You're being competed like with on the bites. Pregnant pause there, Garrick.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so. A kid in a chair?
Concept
what?
Art. Concept art of a kid in a hover chair, which represents at least two different role playing campaigns I remember from college. And also probably about 9 episodes of Next Generation.
Is it just me, or did the prequels have way too many villains? I just can't keep part of the
track. They absolutely did, because they had to murder one in every
episode.
Every episode had to murder a main villain.
Then
Maul, Grievous, then
Count Dooku.
Yeah, Count Dooku.
Yep.
Exactly.
Huh.
So that is what it was. Anyhow, hey, we cut off the review short so we could get into the meatiness of rumors, so let's not hold off. Again? Yeah.
What a dick.
That's enough of that.
Oh, jeez. Well, boys.
Until we get fader control, I'm just cutting them off.
I used to do that all in post, but
too lazy. Oops.
No, I'm not too lazy. Someone just decided.
No, I just decided to cut him off, stealing the smoothness from him.
Well, the rumors are taking us in a different direction this week. We got new stuff to talk about. It's not just the Force Awakens anymore. So.
What?
Well, except this first one, sort of. It's about
I'm not even looking at this. Looking at the notes because you told me not to.
Yeah, don't do it. Actually, the first one we got is we've had some leaks this week about the second teaser trailer. Whoa. So it's not actually about the. All the stuff about the film itself. It's actually about specifically the teaser trailer. So apparently,
or the trailer.
The trailer.
Because Mike does not distinguish the difference between the two.
I am wrong. Thank you for correcting me.
I'm just saying you're going out of your way to add the word teaser.
I am wrong. You're absolutely right. The regular full length trailer.
I am placated. Proceed.
But isn't a trailer always teasing the movie?
Thank you.
You know what? Howie. Terminology. Hey, aren't words just other words in disguise?
Yes. Teasers are generally shorter. The regular full length trailer should be a little bit longer, and apparently it is. So, but here's what we're hearing this week. Of course, what we're being told is that the next trailer will be most likely released at Celebration Anaheim, and then most definitely released during Age of Ultron. In May. So, but we've had
aligning with our expectations.
And Star Wars 7 News is reporting one of their bloggers are saying that he's got two different sources now that have come to him with separate descriptions that don't know each other of the trailer. And he's saying that they're pretty similar descriptions. So I'm going to go through the description and we'll kind of talk about it a little bit. See if,
spoilers. Don't spoil a trailer for me.
Oh.
I'm that nerdy. That was kind of an earnest, but please spoil the trailer for me.
Okay. Nerd. So what we hear is that the trailer is going to start out again with a, kind of an opener on the dunes of Tatooine or the Tatooine like planet.
Right.
And,
deserty dunes,
deserty
dunes. Desertness.
Right.
Tatooine.
Let's see. Let's get the short description here. Let's see. It's longer than the last trailer. What we're hearing is that it's about 90 seconds. So we've got a minute and a half this time. The dialogue over the trailer this time is not going to be Andy Serkis. This time it's actually going to be Lupita Nyong'o.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh, so it's going to be her dialogue over this. Let's see. They talk about the lightsaber in question, which is
the broadsaber.
No, not the broadsaber. They're talking about the lightsaber that needs to be delivered. Oh, the
spinning lightsaber,
right? That somehow opens some kind of Sith tomb or magic or something.
Yeah, the floating in space found lightsaber, all that stuff.
Right? Yeah, the hand or whatever.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin, right? let's see. They say that in this one, they actually have a shot of Luke. So we get a shot of Luke. In this trailer.
Ooh, cool. Right.
Looking all kind of beardy, crazy and snaggled. Beardy. Let's see. It says they show Luke. He looks badass. It sure says that Han and Leia are in it more than once. Cool. It says we do hear some Andy Serkis saying something to the effect of don't get sentimental or something like that. By the way, the saber in question, everybody has assumed this. To this point that it's Luke's saber that he lost at Bespin.
Yeah.
In the blue saber.
But no.
They're saying that it's the green saber.
Right.
Which is weird.
The one he done made at Obi-Wan's house before the Jabba fiasco.
So that's different than what we've seen or what we've heard so far. It looks like we get to see Finn wielding a lightsaber in the trailer, which kind of goes along with some of the things that we've heard about him. Let's see. It says Han is showing them something about believing in him before they show Luke's face. Not sure what that means.
Because Luke don't be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a crazy old man.
Right. What we're hearing.
Crazy old hermit.
Right. Right. Let's see. They say they do show Kylo Ren's face this time and it's the Revan mask.
The Revany mask.
Revany mask, which is not surprising.
Is it Revany or is it Revan? That's what I want to know.
It's Revany. That's the thing. Well,
what if it's Revanese?
Well, maybe he's Revanese.
I mean, I don't think it's Revan. If anything, he's going to end up being a Revan disciple.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, if he is somebody who's gathering a bunch, we're hearing the rumors that he's gathering a bunch of old things together, like the crossguard saber is like an older technology. Like let's just say he's a traitor in MacGuffins. He will have all sorts of Sith MacGuffins. Then it's possible that they might actually make reference to that actually being Revan's mask. If so, they win Star Wars. I don't care. The rest of the movie sucks. It could be Jar Jar doing a chorus line. If that's Revan's mask, I will be at least somewhat happy walking out of the theater.
Let's see some of the locations that they're talking about. There's one of the forest locations is shown. Skellig Michael Island is shown in this one. I think there's a scene.
Is there another name for that island?
You don't like Skellig Michael? Is that a problem for you?
We need to talk to some of our United Kingdom friends about how awful a name for an island that is. Skellig Michael.
I think it's Ireland, actually.
What, isn't that part of the UK?
No.
No?
Northern Ireland is part of the UK.
See, all things that they never taught me in geography. American geography, specifically, which should surprise no one. But either way, all those folks over there, we need to talk to you about how to name an island. Skellig Michael Island. Is that the name of a dude? Hey, I'm Skellig Michael. Oi, I'm Skellig Michael.
I'm Skellig Michael.
That's assuming that Mike's actually pronouncing it correctly, though. Just keep that in mind.
Whoa. My gosh.
Could be Skellig Michelle. Who knows?
Michelle.
How would Mike know how to pronounce the word Michael properly?
Yeah, for real.
It looks like it's going to be a pattern similarly after the other one. We get some slower shots at first, and then it kicks into some quick shots. Let's see. We actually hear some R2-D2 and C-3PO. We see Princess Leia at one point. So this one looks like it's going to be a pretty, and kind of what we'd expected. I mean, if this all ends up being true, I mean, they're basically going to see an expansion from the teaser, and they're going to, you know, this time they're going to tease us with Han, Luke, and Leia. Yeah. So, not surprising. No. I think it's interesting. The one thing I wanted to point out about this description is that, you know, this time we're going to see the front of Kylo Ren's face with the mask on and things like that. And it goes back. Remember, we were talking about the report about the leaked concept art.
Yeah.
The photo of Kylo Ren
on Tumblr or what? No, on Image, wherever it was.
Yeah. Image Shack, I think. But it's interesting to me that they're going to show his face in this one. I wonder if they had intended to not show that, but now that it's out there,
it's like, all right, show it off.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be surprised when it hits the
film.
Exactly. So, if you don't show it off now and people see it in the movie, they'll be like, oh, it was that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So show it off now so that you just take the air out of that.
Exactly. Completely. Exactly. So I think maybe they're kind of doing exactly what you said, is just don't make a big deal about it. Just
so play it out. Why, Mike, not to circle back, but why would they want to hide the mask so much? Why would it be important to hide a mask that moviegoers have never seen before?
Because nerds like us know who Revan is.
Because it could be Revan's mask, and that could have been meant to be a huge surprise.
I think that's Revan. Exactly what it was.
I'm pouring water in my pot. I'm going to carry it around.
I think we'll find out at some point, maybe, you know, after the movie's out and JJ does interviews and things like that. I think you're hitting on something. That's probably one of the surprises.
Like I said, hey, it's JJ.
Close to their chest.
It's JJ. Don't second guess some. I mean, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck,
right?
Don't, you know,
it could be a torpedo.
That's a platypus. Don't do that. It may well be a duck.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, we got some news/rumors this week, too, about, remember we said that part of this film was going to be filmed in IMAX?
Mm-hmm. Another dumb name for an island. British people listen.
IMAX.
Yeah. IMAX Island.
I think most people assumed that the IMAX scene would be, I don't know. At least I would assume it would be, you know, a scene with a lot of action and,
nah.
No.
Well, I would be sweeping vistas and like landscapes is what I would expect.
Well,
why? Because it's easier.
Well, and it might be some of that. What we're hearing is from Making Star Wars, they're saying that the IMAX scene is actually going to be a scene with Ray, the character of Ray, which is Daisy Ridley. And if you remember, there's there was concept art out there of, you know, a fallen AT-AT, right, and maybe a Star Destroyer had crashed, and yeah, you know, some wreckage and things like that. You know, we know from descriptions that she lives on Tatooine, or a Tatooine-like planet, and she's kind of living as a scavenger. The IMAX scene is going to be her kind of traversing and going through the wreckage and looking for salvage parts.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Hey, question for you. Crash Star Destroyer. That's bad business.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm feeling it too.
Ask the Nogri, am I right? EU jokes, high fives.
I get it.
But what if it's not Tatooine, but what if it's like a micro desert formed by a bunch of like capital warships crashing and like scorching the earth? I'm just saying.
So it's
a pretty sandy desert to say that.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, and we know the huts are in the film and things like that. To me, in my mind, there's no question it's Tatooine, but there's a lot of people out there that are questioning that, just mm-hmm. like you right here.
Why not yank the rug out from something that obvious? Now I'm going back on what I just said about the duck, but I mean, that would be an easy one to go, gotcha last, you know?
Could be. It really could be, but I don't know. The things I've seen so far, though, everything feels like Tatooine to me. So,
right.
I don't know. Even the trailer.
You need to lubricate, then. You need to get some Jergens.
Yeah.
If everything feels like Tatooine to you, you need to moisturize.
Oh, it gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's so rough.
I didn't mean like that, guys. I did say lubricate. I meant moisturize.
Well, do you guys remember we got the big announcement on the last episode about the first spinoff film being called Rogue One, right?
Yes, indeed.
And I think everybody's thought initially was Rogue One. I mean, that's an X-Wing. That's like an X-Wing, like a Top Gun.
It ought to be Dirk Burnett. Star Wars
Top Gun, right?
That's what I said last week.
Well, supposedly there's some concept art. If you guys want to pull it up, you can.
I'm not allowed to look at the notes.
Yeah, you can look at the notes on
this
one.
Where are we on the list?
Look at concept art from Rogue One.
Hey, that makes sense.
So this is some of the supposed concept art. Now I'm going to call out some of the BS that I see, but... supposedly this is leaked concept art from Rogue One. Okay. Now, again, everybody kind of assumes that Rogue One is going to be an X-Wing, you know, kind of Top Gun-ish type film. But the two pieces of concept art that we see seems more like, I don't know, kind of ground battles.
Yeah. Either mid rebellion or slightly post rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Now, the weird thing is the one at the top of the report that, and if go to betterkind.com if you want to see the show notes and look at the concept art that we are looking at, but the one on the top of the page, to me that looks almost Clone Wars era.
It really does. In fact, even the dude in the front looks like a really bad art rendition of the guy what played all the clones.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of Jedi holding lightsabers in the background, so that feels weird to me.
Wearing full body armor.
Yeah.
Like that almost looks like it's pre... This almost looks like it's Old Republic, video game.
It does. Yeah, yeah, like,
that's what I was thinking.
That looks exactly really Old Republic, as a matter of fact.
It just makes me really question this this article. But the one below it, if you look at the concept art
there. That has
there,
got to be Old Republic concept art.
Yeah.
That looks exactly like the soldier class, and those Jedi look exactly like the Sentinel class.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm not buying that. Then the one directly below it. To me, that almost seems like concept art for Return of the Jedi.
That looks like fan art to me.
Fan art?
The R2 right there, and the fact that the drawings are very contoury, they have contours around them rather than just like, you know, watercolor markers and stuff like that.
I don't know. So,
But the bottom one, the last one, is the one I've seen the most on the web. And that's the one that is, of course, the most obscured because it looks like there's bad weather and there's a whole battle going on.
Yeah.
And that could be, which looks like rebels dropping out of some sort of like troop carrier into a field of battle with like an AT-AT and stuff like that.
Let's see. It says, okay, concept art. Let's see. Oh, actually, they're saying about this, and I apologize. It says, actually, the concept art hasn't leaked online because of some strict no electronics policies at the event that it was shown. So actually, these are video game concept art. So I apologize for that.
That explains everything.
It really does. But it says, I guess what the point of the article is that the art that they did see is reminiscent of these two pictures. So what they're saying is
that's helpful. Thank you, website.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll just scratch this whole thing off.
Dudes fighting on stuff. You get it. You get the idea.
But I mean, the point of the article is that it's not necessarily what you think of it's going to be. So, but we're so early, honestly, we're so early into this whole idea of Rogue Squadron and what it's going to end up being. Who knows at this point? I mean, this is back at the beginning of Force Awakens.
Almost seems like we got a whole year of podcasting talk about more rumors, exactly. More than that.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long time before any of this crystallizes.
Oh, but, I got to hang out with you chuckleheads even longer.
Dang it, I thought we were almost done.
Seriously.
So interesting about that. Again, we're just going to have to wait and see how things start to flesh out with Rogue One. But I don't know. What do you think, though? I mean, if this turns out to be more of a trooper, ground troop type of thing.
Then it's got a horrible name.
Yeah, it'd be an awful name, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, horrible. Horrible. Now, Empire Strikes Back is the only movie canon reference that we have to identify Rogue Squadron as a squadron of pilots.
The speeders. Yeah, speeders battling. And even then, AT-ATs.
That was an augmented group. That wasn't a bunch of, space pilots. That was a group of other people thrown in with that group.
Right.
So in the movies, that's our real only reference. Yes. So you could say that, just because they had designations of Rogue One and Rogue Two and all that, that maybe we don't have to tie that to a squadron, but it's too iconic.
Yeah.
It's too iconic.
It's hard for me.
That's a real big stretch to say, oh, well, that's just EU. No, it's because it's right there.
Right.
It was right there. So I got to think. I mean, there may be plenty of ground exercise and stuff like that, especially if it's like a training up through the ranks kind of thing, but I'm going to call BS. I think it's going to be about pilots.
It needs to be.
Oh, it just
better. Let's cross the fingers.
Better be until I hear something better.
Yeah, exactly.
God darn it.
Well, Billy D is back in the news.
Billy D?
I like that guy.
He doing more Colt 45 commercials?
Comicbook.com is reporting that Billy D is... possibly on for episode 8.
Good. They've got a backup plan for when Harrison Ford finally, goes deep sea diving and dies in a non-pressurized wetsuit or something ridiculous. Right. He's going to
skydives out of a plane with no parachute.
Yeah, he's going to get in like a mechanized dolphin and just crash into an underwater ravine or something.
So Billy D, I mean, I don't know. I've kind of felt like the whole time, this isn't a surprise for me.
No,
they've pulled Billy D into Rebels, so we know he's been.
And he's already said that he'd love to take part. Right. So,
and I've always figured the whole time. I mean, even though he wasn't part of that original, Trinity of characters, from Episode 4. I mean, he was in Episode, 5 and 6. So, I mean, he's really kind of part of that group.
Can we say? Let's acknowledge for a second. I don't know if we've ever done this. That it is crazy that all of our main characters from Star Wars are still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying any of them were that old, but just think about the odds of, actors being alive as long as they have been, all of them.
Sure.
We have not lost any main actors. We're even actors who played characters who were killed in the original movies, they're all still alive.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
What about Porkins?
Okay, Hoot died. Hoot passed
talking
away.
Talking about the main ones, man.
Yeah, he's the main one to me.
And he's the main one in you. It's good to know. I've been wondering what's in you.
You got a little bit of Porkins in you.
Yeah,
a lot of it. There is no little bit. I just, that's amazing. But, the movie takes place 30, 40 years later. Someone ought to be dead. I mean, someone should be dead in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want to be Lando, but this just brings up the subject where it's like, shouldn't someone be dead so that there's like a brev,
Well, some people think that Han will be dead by episode 8.
I'm just saying, at the beginning of this movie, somebody should, and maybe it's Wedge, somebody should have died at some point in a world, in a galaxy that's fighting. Someone should be dead to add some brevity. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, Chewie had a moonfall on him.
Yeah, so. But Chewie's not dead in this movie. If it were Chewie, I'd shut up. I would be like, yep, he died in a bad book, and that's great. But I'm getting kind of like, you want to see where all these characters are, but somebody should be dead. When Bonanza got back together, they didn't exhume the corpse of Lorne, whatever his name was. Paul was dead when they did the Bonanza. It's always that way. You acknowledge the but we just, all the actors are still alive. So suddenly everybody has to be in the movie. And I kind of, yeah, you don't want to exclude someone who could potentially be in it, but I don't know. At some point, pump the brakes, right? I mean, where do I stop suspending my disbelief, I guess?
Yeah, I feel you, man. Well,
get your hands off me.
new rumors as it relates to Rebels. Have you guys heard about the latest coming from the Rebels camp?
If we haven't already covered it, no.
Well, there's going to be a new voice actor joining the cast next season, and it is not James Earl Jones.
Nope, it's Freddie Prinze Jr.'s old on-screen main squeeze. It's
Mrs. Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle
Gellar. Are they married in the For Real Real?
They are married in the For Real World.
I never kids. Knew that.
Yes, dude. Yes.
I had no idea yeah. that Buffy and,
oh, yeah.
the Buffy and Freddie Prinze Jr. Yes, tied the knot.
They are a thing.
I mean, they were always wow. kind of a thing when they were younger. I didn't know that was
they
a thing are, that ended up being.
They were married was coming and have two kids. So.
What's that?
I thought Brack was coming in to do
hey.
The voice.
Hey, me and Freddie driving in down highway 40
in my big old
pickup
truck.
You guys need to still work on
you guys
that.
Need to Google. You need to Google. It's not far off. You need to Google Brack Freddie Prinze Jr. and sit back on the YouTube and you're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, I guess Freddie Prinze has pulled some strings and got his wifey on the cast.
Freddie
so.
Prinze Jr.
Oh, Freddie Prinze. So anyway, so of course now the rumors are flying about exactly who she's going to be playing in the series.
All about.
Well, and you guys have claimed that you guys don't know anything about this rumor.
No, but it's better be Mara Jade.
Well.
Mara Jade.
Here's what it says. Sarah Michelle Gellar will be voicing a new character.
Mara Jade. Better be Mara Jade.
Jade or Mara.
Based on.
Mara Jade.
Mara Jade.
MJ.
Named Eileen Zahn in honor of Timothy Zahn, Mara's creator. Now, there's a point Boo. Here. There's a point here I want to make. Now, again, this is rumor.
Are we really going to get hung up on the name?
Yes,
come
we
on,
are.
Yeah, Eileen.
And this is important. This is actually important. It's more important than you guys think. Because here's the thing. If I've been meaning to bring this out to you guys because we've been talking about the Jason and Jaina thing for a while now. You know, is JJ going to surprise us and put Jaina and Jane in the film? And the telltale sign here before the movie even comes out is going to be season two of Rebels. When they introduce this Mara Jade character, if her name is Mara Jade, in my opinion, it's a pretty good bet that we're going to get Jason and Jaina in
That's
the film.
That's a big leap.
If it's not Mara Jade, I don't think there's any hope that we have Jason and Jaina.
If it's not Mara Jade, but it's a character based on Mara Jade, you have all the more reason to believe that we're going to continually get these analogs.
Yes. That's exactly what it's going to be. We're going to get analogs.
Yeah.
Renamed.
Which is better than nothing.
Yes, better than nothing. But why not, though? Why not? And I wondered about this. Actually, I wanted to put this to you guys, too. And I mean, I would assume that, like, Timothy Zahn, when he wrote the characters of Jason and Jaina and Mara Jade, that he doesn't own those. I'm sure he signed over all rights to Lucas.
Oh, yeah, you don't own anything
film.
Then you put it in,
right.
in the
so
hat.
He doesn't own it. So I'm scratching my head as to why. I mean, because at first I was like, well, do they have to pay the creators, you know, or
well,
give them some
reason,
kind of royalty, you
one
know,
reason
if they
is
use those names?
This know, they could be loosely based on that character. And if they name this character Mara Jade, and they don't follow Mara Jade's story exactly, people are going to get pissed off.
Or Mara Jade's going to be in Force Awakens in a flashback or something, and they don't want to cross the streams.
I don't know, man. I just... But,
yeah, so are they saying this is going to be Mara Jade's character, or
well,
is it going
this,
to be
this article,
similar?
This article claims that it's going to... this is the exact quote. Sarah Michelle Gellar will be voicing a new character based on Mara Jade, named Eileen Zahn, in honor of Timothy Zahn, Mara's creator. She will be an inquisitor, but pretending to be a rebel.
So it's kind of like inspired by a true story kind of a thing.
Well,
based on actual non-canon events.
I mean, she will be an inquisitor pretending to be a rebel.
Have been changed
that's
to protect
kind of,
the innocent.
I mean, that's kind of what Mara Jade did. I mean, yeah. She was in the original EU, she was known as the Emperor's Hand,
right.
Which was kind of her... You know,
right. And by the way, the Emperor was like a, you know, an octopus or a septuplus. He had lots of hands, is what I'm
yes,
saying.
I thought you were going to say
Mara
he's
Jade
lots of
was
puss.
Not the only one. Right.
No.
Mara Jade was not the only Emperor's hand.
Right. Not where I thought that was going.
That's where I went.
So, but I really believe that if it's, I mean, this could be misdirection, everything else, but I really think we'll get a clue to if we have a possibility of Jason and Jaina in Rebels season two. If we get Mara Jade, then I think then it's possible that we'll get Jason and Jaina. If it's somebody else, then I don't think there's a prayer in Hades that we're going to get Jason and Jaina.
I don't know.
Here's the only thing though. If they do this Eileen Zahn thing, maybe that's a name code that name, she takes.
Code name again, like we've been saying with yes, Rey and with Kylo Rey, Ren. Yeah. Code names. They're all code names.
I mean, think about it. I mean, if she's going in undercover and pretending to be a rebel, I mean, she could be doing that very thing.
In an early episode of Fly Casual, your favorite Star Wars podcast, I once said that if they're going to go new, I want them to go new. Yeah. I once said that that I don't want a willy-nilly. I don't want something. It's like, you know, it's like contrasting colors. You don't want to paint a room two colors, but have those colors be too similar because then they just don't look right up against each other. You have to have them be different enough that they complement each other. Complementary colors, contrasting colors, whatever you want to call it. Same thing with this new canon. I have said historically that I don't want it to be too similar to the old canon because then I'm just going to be constantly comparing the details of which one's better, the newer. And I would rather be completely new. But now that we're getting closer and closer, I'm almost kind of going, I do want it to be kind of like the old one. I do. And I even want the names to be the same. And I don't think I have a snowball's chance in hell, even though I keep hoping for it. But
I'm still hoping. I'm still holding out, man. JJ's good at knowing what the fans like.
Khan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So there, I think with JJ, there's Singh, still
just, you know, it's like saying, I am Bob. Yeah. Bob who? Oh.
Well, getting into this, I mean, he had to know the long time fans, especially the EU fans, you know, really attached to some of these characters. I mean, yeah. Jason, Jaina, Mar. I mean, there's just certain ones. But
is that JJ's call?
Yeah.
When they all got in the conference room, Kathleen Kennedy and all them, and said, all right, what are we going to do? We got to go new, go different. If we get too close to what's actually established, if we have the characters of the same name, people are going to want to assume that that canon still is part of canon.
Well, they wiped the canon out for a reason, or the EU out.
Yeah, but they've also been very quick to say that don't think that that means that everything is just gone. That means that they have a huge library of things of influences to draw upon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To pull from. So,
well, can I play? So far, also means that they're not going to follow. They don't want to follow that line. They want to have the freedom to follow a line.
Can I play the schizophrenic devil's advocate for one moment?
Okay.
So the old EU is called Legends. Mm-hmm. Legends, as Garrick has pointed out previously, have to be based somewhat in fact, right? Or usually are based somewhat in fact. So if at one point everybody's legends just go bat nuts crazy, and start everybody's having kids that never existed and they're having adventures that never existed, wouldn't it make sense to have these characters still exist, but these are the legendary stories of those characters?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a feather in the cap of the people who still want those characters to be part of the canon. I don't know.
That's why I'm still holding hope. I'm not as pessimistic as I was, I think, initially when we started talking about
this. Initially I was like, no, all new.
But right. The further we get into this, I don't know. People that are still on staff, like Dave Filoni. I mean, I think guys like him have got a lot of influence.
Yeah.
And I don't think JJ's a slut.
Or they're being used by people who feel similarly. You know, they're being selected. Like Dave Filoni's being kept on and is part of a greater vision. I mean, he's been given a ton of creative control here. So if he's part of that greater vision, now then again, we've praised him up and down for sneaking in some of those details. But a lot of those details are things that no one would care about.
Sure.
Big characters are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I should say no one would say, no, you can't do that. Not no one would care about, because obviously we went nuts when, you know, I talked about the for crying out loud. The hammerhead.
Oh,
Thorian having the vocalizer on his back and stuff like that. Just those and the mouth on the side of the neck and all that. That's the kind of stuff no one would contend with. But characters are a different animal. So I think it's still up in the air and I'm leaning toward not getting the ultimate of what I want.
Yeah.
But, we'll see.
I'm still hopeful. I am still hopeful.
What else is on the docket?
Well, the last one I had was finally we're getting some information about Princess Leia. Finally.
Finally.
Of all the main characters, she's the one.
No one has nothing. Said anything.
Not.
I think everyone's like, eh, she's going to be riding a desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got herself a desk job. Yeah. You know? She's drawing an easy paycheck.
Or like Garrick says, she's going to get killed in the first 5 minutes of the film.
There you go.
Yeah, she's gone.
She gone.
She's dead.
Well, not so much. Not according to this article. So here's what we're being told now on the rumor mill about Princess Leia. These are the facts as they lay them out. I'm just going to go through them and we'll respond when we feel we need to.
Okay, probably not. We never do that.
Okay.
Hey, Howie, try to keep a tight lip this once.
Okay, Leia seems to be involved in one of these super weapons. Now, if you remember, we've heard some things about both the Empire and the Rebellion or New Republic, whatever it's going to be called, seeking a super weapon of some sort. This seems to indicate that the New Republic or Rebellion already has a super weapon called the Catapult. And it's
that sounds too super.
Said some that here about super at all. Leia sends an emissary to a planet of this woman who is killed by the catapult.
I'm gonna hit you with Empire. A big rock. She got hit by a big rock.
No, it's very literal. They are actually launching cats. Oh, planets. They just burn up on entry. It's really not effective at all.
Catapult. I see where you're going. All right.
Yeah.
It says, let's see, the sequence in which Han Solo and the princess meet for the first time in the film is described as awkward. So that would seem to indicate that Han and Leia have not seen each other for a while.
Right.
So that's
weird. Last time they saw each other, she skipped out before breakfast. He woke up to a hastily scribbled note. Awkward.
Here's an interesting one. She's actually described as a queen on the main cast list.
Weird.
So Queen Leia.
Yep.
So
Alderaanian remnant.
I mean, I suppose that's possible, right? I mean, she wouldn't be the queen of the Republic, so.
You would like to think not, but who knows?
I hope they don't go there. That would be weird.
Better than Empress Leia. I guess you got that. True.
Let's see. It says she will appear as a prominent leader of the Rebellion, which still seems weird that we're calling it the Rebel Alliance. I've heard that a couple times now,
I have too, and it bugs me a lot.
It does. 30 years later, it's still the Rebellion?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless they're rebelling against another regime that rised and fell, rose and fell.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one I struggle with. I'm hoping that's just the lack of knowledge of the terminology being used.
Toward the middle of the film, in a map room of the Rebel base, it's again kind of.
I know, it's everywhere.
Too poetic.
Everywhere.
Anyway, Leia has a secret weapon up her sleeve involving her own weapon called the Sledgehammer.
Wow.
Is this actually Force Awakens, or are these rumors about the upcoming fan film done by all WCW cast members? I'm going to use my sledgehammer. Throw your catapult to smithereens.
Sledgehammer and catapult, yeah.
Oh, no, the Emperor's built the metal folding chair.
That's
a little weird.
That's definitely a little weird. But here's the thing. I've been hearing little whispers about multiple super weapons, so this kind of lines up with some of the things that we've heard outside of this report. So I'm just a little, I don't know. We'll see. It says here.
Remember when we got to the point with the EU books where we were like, really? Another super weapon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, really? Sun Crusher, Eye of Palpatine.
That's what I've said for a long time.
Center Point Station. And at some point, they just stopped with the super weapons. But now we're right back because that all never happened. So naturally, it's fresh and new again.
Here's another weird one. We said mentioned the sledgehammer. It says something about Leia is proud of this weapon, which
it shoots peace and rainbows.
feels weird to me. I mean, I know she was the leader of a rebellion, but I mean, traditionally, I think of Leia as, a lover of democracy and peace and things like that. That's what she was fighting for.
Alderaan had no weapons.
Right.
Exactly. They were pacifists. Yeah,
that's where she grew up. That's her background.
But it's a great cover for the pacifist senator to be leading an armed rebellion. I'm just saying, her dad was a little on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Huh? It still feels weird to me that she would be proud of a super weapon.
Well, maybe it's a special kind of super weapon. Maybe it's just a.
That does what?
It's a drug that makes you happy. It's Gleam-X. It's Gleam-X. It makes it, it makes it, you know, 73 degrees in your head all the time.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
Apparently there's a final scene between Han and Leia, kind of indicating that maybe, you know,
they both uglies.
No, that Han takes off and gets himself, you know, dead or something.
Gets himself dead.
He gets himself dead.
Good and dead.
Wow.
So let's see. It says when Kylo and Han meet again, it cuts to Leia, who feels a disturbance in the Force.
Because daddy and baby, Jason and daddy.
So that's a little. Aww, Jason. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Could be.
Yeah. There is no indication she is a Jedi or started upon that path with her brother. That's kind of keeps with the EU.
Yeah,
the
mostly. EU. I mean, yeah, some authors tried to drag her in that direction, yeah, kicking and screaming, and then the next author would just write it. Yeah, right. She took a break. She had to do stuff. You know, and then someone else would be like, but no, she really wants to really this time do her training. She's hanging out with Padawans and things, and the next writer comes on. Yeah, no, somebody got pissed at somebody about the price of chickens. She had to get in and, you know, intervene. So...
yeah, that's, so I'm kind of okay with that. I mean, I think we've the EU for the most part has kind of described her as so busy with politics and leading the New Republic that she just never had time for it. So,
right.
It does indicate that she and Luke have a reunion of sorts. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. It shows her being elated when Luke has been found. So actually, it doesn't indicate that they have a reunion. Just that she's happy that they found him. So
right.
Okay, and then it says at the end of the film, Leia and Rey have a special goodbye in which she bids Rey a fond farewell.
Because it's her daughter.
That would make sense, Jaina. Right?
Jaina.
So, I don't know. That's more about Leia than we've gotten to this point. So, I don't know. A lot of it, I'm not real, you know, not real thrilled about. But there's other small tidbits that kind of indicate know how much that Rey and Kylo are.
Believe in any of it either.
Yeah, it's
all just rumors. So
some of it sounds like it's there's like grain, like good grains in it, and other bits like the super weapon, yeah, you know, wiener measuring right. contest sounds kind of ridiculous. But I mean, yeah, a super weapon could be anything. Yeah, you know, the Katana fleet was a super weapon.
Yeah,
in the Zahn novels, and that was just a big fleet of ships.
Yeah,
you know, right. really really old nuts. Ones.
Right.
So it's like. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. It could just be a strategy or a tactic or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe her super weapon is something that allows an entire planet to evacuate it's super fast.
She wants you know, she know. Wants to kill them with kindness.
There you go. Yeah.
Super weapon.
Yeah, maybe she's right. putting the metal bikini back on and gets on the Holovid.
Oh.
The super weapon is I had something, but it fell out. I don't know where it went. It's late, boys. Let's wrap this one up already.
Yeah.
Goodness sake. Hey, thank you, though, for joining us for a lovely Reviews and Rumors episode
You're
of
welcome.
Fly Casual. And yeah, thank you,
oh,
Howie.
Oh, you were talking.
No, but now I'm talking to you. Thank
you. You are
thank
welcome. You.
Thanks. Thank you.
No, that's not. You don't respond to no. thanks with thanks you, unless you're like
thanks.
Canadian. No. Thanks. If I say thank you, you're supposed to say you're welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So, and thank you, the listener, for joining us again. Please join the conversation on Twitter, of which there is absolutely no shortage of news and rumors and all sorts of great things to peek in on. We post a lot of the crazy stuff we hear that doesn't even make our cut. Think about that. The stuff that doesn't make the cut for this show.
Yeah.
If you really want to hear some wow. wackadoo stuff, get out there and follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138. Thanks again to Steve Potter for being such a driving force behind that. And also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/flycasualpodcast. In the meantime, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, jump on there and give us a positive review. It helps us get us out to more ears, and that's what we want to do. So thanks everybody for joining us. I don't think there's any reason to belay this anymore.
No.
Any parting nope. shots?
Nope.
Any,
nope.
Howie, did you want to say random nope. thank yous to anybody?
Thank you. And thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was needed.
Yeah,
I think they needed to hear that.
Yes.
In the meantime, I'm Corey. That's Howie.
Yo.
You had an opportunity for another thank you there.
You're welcome.
All right. And over there's Mike.
Farewell.
And Garrick, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hate you guys. We be jelly.